From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11 as he brings the next portion of a message called The Report Card of the Faithful. The text is a portion of verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. That which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, by faith. As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The first and indispensable characteristic of a true believer is that he is a saved person. Then, believers are a singular people. They have different values and desires from the world around them, for they are seeking to please God. In addition, God's people are a serving people. Once a person comes to know Christ as personal Savior, there is implanted within him a desire to serve the Lord. Furthermore, believers are a submitted people. By faith, they receive God's word and obey it, with full trust in the Lord who gave it. As we'll see today, Christians are a suffering people, for those who follow Christ will suffer persecution. But God's people are also a sustained people, for God has promised never to forsake His own. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 17 and verse 23. I in them. If such be the union which subsists between our souls and the person of our Lord, how deep and broad is the channel of our communion! There is no narrow pipe through which a thread-like stream may wind its way. It is a channel of amazing depth and breadth, along whose glorious length a ponderous volume of living water may roll its floods. Behold, he hath set before us an open door. Let us not be slow to enter. This city of communion has many pearly gates. Every several gate is of one pearl, and each gate is thrown open to the uttermost, that we may enter assured of welcome. If there were but one small loophole through which to talk with Jesus, it would be a high privilege to thrust a word of fellowship through the narrow door. How much we are blessed in having so large an entrance! Had the Lord Jesus been far away from us, with many a stormy sea between, we should have longed to send a messenger to him to carry him our loves, and to bring us tidings from his Father's house. But see his kindness. He has built his house next door to ours. Nay more, he takes his lodging with us, and tabernacles in poor, humble hearts, so that he may have perpetual fellowship with us. Oh, how foolish must we be if we do not live in habitual communion with him! When the road is long and dangerous and difficult, we need not wonder that friends seldom meet each other. But when they live together, shall Jonathan forget his David? A wife may, when her husband is upon a journey, abide many days without holding converse with him. But she could never endure to be separated from him if she knew him to be in one of the chambers of her own house. Why, believer, dost not thou sit at his banquet of wine? Seek thy Lord, for he is near. Embrace him, for he is thy brother. Hold him fast, for he is thine husband. And press him to thine heart, for he is of thine own flesh.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Very often Ephesians 5 is used to butter wives over the head. Must have very thick bones up there because it doesn't get through an awful lot. But you know, Ephesians 5, contrary to what most people think, was not written to teach wives to be in subjection. It was written, and of course this is a very, very different thing, it was written that all Christians should learn, verse 21, that they are to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's a very different thing from isolating the wife and saying, you be in submission. Now, the wife should be in submission to her husband, as unto Christ. But you know, the fellow who is not submitted to Christ himself, the fellow who shows no spirit of submission, no spirit of subjection, no spirit of humility, no spirit of the knowledge of God or the fear of God or fellowship with God, he's going to have a hard job convincing anybody that even the dog should be in submission to him. Do I make it clear? Maybe sinful when women get out of place. But it's no less sinful when men get out of place. Ephesians 5 is written that we should all learn that the mark of the child of God is a mark of submission. And I want to tell you, if you're submitted to Jesus Christ and you're subject to Christ's word, to Christ's will, to Christ's glory, if you're submitted, there's nothing that's going to cost you too much. Hurt your flesh, hurt your pride. Cut you down to size. Yes. But you'll count that all joy. Because it's only when you die that the life of Christ is seen in you. And it's only when you submit that the kingship of Christ is seen in you. You see, the spiritual truth is the lower you get before God, the higher you get in usefulness and Christ-likeness and service. You try to get big, you're nothing. You lose your life in order to gain it. But if you try to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. That's the logic of the Holy Ghost. Faith allows a person to submit, because I know my Savior does all things well. And if he makes no mistakes, and his will and way are perfect, then I can say with the psalmist, he maketh my way perfect. Obey him. Faith then bears witness, as we have seen in the last couple of Sunday mornings, that they are a suffering people. If you're going to live by faith, be aware that you're going to pay the price. For instance, take this matter of submission. If a wife is subject to her husband as unto the Lord, she's the butt of every joke and jest from a worldly mind, and not only from the world, but from a bunch of carnal Christians, at least professing Christians. If men show a meek and quiet and submissive attitude to their God and to the people of God, they're counted weaklings. Meekness is weakness in the eyes of the world. You'll suffer for it. And of course, there's the greater suffering that we have looked at in these past Sabbath mornings. The path of faith is always the path of the cross. Jesus said, and this is still the standard of discipleship, Zian Hodges has written a book to disprove it. Charles Ryrie has written a book to disprove it. Curtis Hudson has written articles to disprove it. And they're all barking up the wrong tree, to use an old-fashioned expression. They're wrong. Dead wrong. Perverting the notion of grace. They want to say that you can be a disciple without coming to terms with the very standards Christ set. Jesus said, If you will not take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. One would have thought that that was absolutely plain. One would have thought that Christian preachers would rather have torn their tongue out than to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ did not preach the gospel. But that effectively is the place you've got to arrive at if you're denying that Jesus Christ is stating what the gospel is here. We're filling our churches with people who say, I believe. But it's a belief that produces nothing. They're unwilling for the Lordship of Christ. They're unwilling for the cross of Christ. Now, the mark of the people of God, Psalm 110, verse 3, is thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When God the Holy Ghost regenerates people, the first thing is he makes them a willing people. And instead of the cross being an imposition, they glory in the cross. What did Paul say? God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should boast. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. A suffering people, but a sustained people. Faith tells them that. There's a lovely verse that I leave with you. You've heard it many times in Deuteronomy 33 and 27. Part of it, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. These people have the testimony of faith that God never leaves his people alone. Now, some of you are going to walk through rough pathways this year. Some people in our church have already trodden tough ways already in 1990. Some are going to walk by a very, very difficult way. The burdens at times are going to be very heavy. The trials are going to be very, very sore. The opposition that some of you are going to bear from friends and loved ones, from workmates, from the devil himself at times, will appear to be overwhelming. But live by faith, and God will never forsake his people. Remember that lovely promise of the psalmist, that the Lord has not forsaken them that trust him. You'll be sustained by the word of God. Whatever your problem, remember, the Bible has something to say about it. There's a place for human counsel. There's a place for human help. But you know, when people come to me, and I'm no paragon of expertness when it comes to what the world calls counseling. I don't like to call it counseling, to be quite honest. But I like to listen. And as I listen, I pray. And as I pray, I'm asking God for a word for that person from this book. And that's it, you know. Because at the end of the day, my opinion's no better than yours. I may have more experience in an area, you may have more experience in another area. And obviously, you would hope that experience would have taught us all something. But at the end of the day, opinion is but opinion. What you need is the Word of God. You need direction from Scripture. And you know, this is a marvelous, wonderful book. I truly believe that we have got to get the exegetical and contextual meaning of Scripture when we go to study it. But I also know that God can use even a sentence, a word, just light up a line out of this book, lift it right out of its context, seal it to your heart by the Holy Ghost and give you direction. Now that doesn't make any sense to the scholars. That makes them tremble in their boots. Man, you're taking the Bible out of context. I'm not taking the Bible out of anything. I'm simply saying that the Holy Ghost can take a line of Scripture to impress upon your heart what he would have you do. I have often, in prayer meeting, made the people laugh with an old retired missionary back in Northern Ireland. And that's exactly what God did for her. She had gangrene. The doctor said the leg has to come right off, or just below the knee, the foot part of the leg, coming off. She's lying in bed. The ambulance is just about to come. It comes, takes her away to the hospital. Day goes by, she's ready for surgery. That very day, the surgeon is going to do his work. But her other retired missionary sister is on her knees before God from the early morning, and she's crying to God for Emma. And as she comes to the Word of God with faith in her heart, God lights up a word from Scripture that made everybody roar with laughter. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Up she runs to the hospital. The preparation for surgery is underway. She says, "Stop it all." The doctor says, "You're crazy." She says, "I'm not crazy." "You stop it." She says, "Emma, the Lord has given me a word. He will not suffer your foot to be moved." And Emma said to the doctor, "On your way." He says, "You'll die from this. He'll not suffer my foot to be moved." She didn't have surgery. And she kept not only her leg, but her life. Now that's not. That wasn't David's meaning. He wasn't thinking of amputation. But it was God's meaning to her. I don't mean to develop crankiness in God's people. And there's an awful lot of wishful thinking instead of faith among too many Christians. But I do say this. The Word of God is something to say to you. Don't let this Bible be a dead historic book. Don't let this Bible simply be a musty document from the past. Fundamentalists have too easily fallen into the trap of believing that God once inspired the Bible. Nonsense! The Bible was not inspired. The Bible is inspired. It's a word of difference. That word inspiration means the living nature of the Bible. When did it die? It never did. It was inspired, a living word when He gave it. It's still a living word today. Oh, if we will come to it in faith, we'll be sustained by the Word of God. We'll then see the working of God and we'll be sustained by that. We'll then have the witness of God, because our faith will not only witness to the Lord for us, it will witness to us about the Lord. And of course, through it all, remember this, there were things that they didn't get. They didn't see the great promises we'll see next week. There were things they didn't get, but they waited and they waited and they waited. And you'll be sustained by the Word of God, by the working of God, by the witness of the Lord in your heart as you wait upon the Lord. Oh, how we hate that. Why is God not a 20th century American? Why does God not realize that I need this yesterday? Why does God keep me waiting? I could give you various reasons. One very good reason is just to let you know that He is God. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's unchangeable. He's in control. He's not your puppet. His name is G-O-D, not D-O-G, to jump when you or I say so. He'll keep us waiting that we may see Him as our chief joy and not just what He has to do for us. A sustained people through waiting on the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.